Some of you may be aware that Dave and I have had some holidays this week, as has Sarah, but you may not have even noticed because we haven't missed a Sunday. But we travelled with our son Josiah to Adelaide last Sunday, actually, after Easter Sunday morning. And we went to stay with our eldest son Noah, who lives there, and we had a great time with him, that is, apart from all the cleaning that I did of his unit that he lives in. Anyway, it looks really nice now, until I go back next time. But one of the joys of being back in Adelaide is that we got to walk around the Windvale Dam, and there's a picture that's going to come on the screen, which is where we frequently walked when we lived in Adelaide. And as you can see, it is quite a beautiful dam. It's less than a kilometre from Noah's house. And as is often the case, when Dave and I go walking, we discuss everything from politics to ministry to our family to holidays to our personal finances and even sermons. So during the week, I thought that I would run my thoughts for today past Dave and see what he had to say. He's not here this morning. He will be here for the 11. So I got to the end of my kind of summary, synopsis, and he said, 3 kilometres, that's a long sermon. And basically you're saying to me, it doesn't matter what I do, just do everything for God. Well, why don't you just say that and don't waste everybody's time? True story, and he'd back it up if he was here. In fact, I wrote it down as soon as I got home, the quote. Well, while I don't want to disappoint you, I am going to just expand a little bit more. Well, at the beginning of the year, as has already been said, we launched this theme that you can see behind me, Life Together. And if you can remember back, seems like a long time ago, but it wasn't that long ago, that Sarah spoke from Psalm 133, verse 1, that says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And our theme comes a lot from this little book written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer titled, funnily enough, Life Together. And the book talks a lot about fostering an authentic Christian community. And so this morning I just want to focus just for a few minutes on some of his thoughts and some of my own thoughts and some thoughts from Scripture about what he calls the day with others. And I want to ask you 3 questions that I've thought about while I have been rereading this book, and in particular this chapter again in recent weeks. And the first question I want to ask you is, how do you start your day? Well, I'm a morning person, and I always have been, even when I was a teenager. I have never slept in my life. And I know it's unusual, but it's just the way I'm wired. I grew up in a house where my dad was always up before 6 a.m. and we would find him in the study in the morning. During winter, I can still see him sitting there with his slippers on and his little tiny blow heater, you know, blowing on his feet, and he would be there doing his devotions, and he still does it. And so I think I get my morningness from him, as I call it. And getting up at stupid o'clock, as some people would call it, has never bothered me, although I am complaining about the 4:30 start at Prince Alfred Square tomorrow. But that's okay. But not everyone is like this, and I appreciate that we are all different. Some of my immediate family don't wake up until they've been out of bed for about 2 hours. But even if you're not a morning person, how do you start your day? Are you happy? Are you grumpy? Are you grateful? Perhaps expectant? Maybe in desperate need of coffee? Excited? Do you wake up full of dread or anxiety? Well, we heard earlier from Colossians 3 and the Apostle Paul, who said, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Now, Paul doesn't say what time of day we should think about the things of heaven, but I believe that this is a great way to start the day. I'm sure many of you know the words from scripture or even the words from the song, which was probably around in the 70s or 80s, that are based on Lamentations 3, that say, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." A brilliant reminder for each and every day, no matter what you're going through. In fact, the writer of Lamentations spent a lot of time, as you would expect, he was lamenting in grief and sorrow. But he reminds himself in these verses, and he reminds us that every single day God's mercies are new and his faithfulness is still present. Start the day focused on God. Be thankful. I believe that even when days are hard, that we still have something to be grateful for. Start your mind on the things of heaven, not on earth. For many, this means spending time in personal devotions in the morning. However, I understand that that's not always possible for everyone. But you can still turn your thoughts to Him, to our Creator God, when we wake. But if you don't do your devotions in the morning, I want to encourage you to still spend time with God at other times of the day. When our boys were younger, it was almost impossible for me to have any kind of quiet time in the morning. But I still made time for that to happen. Time in prayer, in reading the scripture, for no other reason but to grow in our relationship with God, to become more dependent on Him, to get to know Him better. And as part of this, I encourage you to pray, to start your day in prayer. Yes, we pray for ourselves, but we also pray for our family, for our friends, those who don't know Jesus and those who do, for strangers, for our faith community, for our wider community, we pray. One of the most important things that we can do for other people is to pray for them. But don't tell people that you're praying for them if you're not going to do it. People don't want lip service. They want genuine love and care and relationship and prayer. Very early one morning, almost 20 years ago now, Noah was just a baby. Dave and I were up early at home, and I think Noah was probably around 5 months old or something, and he was still sound asleep, and the phone rang. When I say it was early, it was probably, you know, 7:30 in the morning. And I have to say that I was less than impressed that somebody would be ringing at that hour of the day. So I grudgingly picked up the phone and was immediately taken back when, after I said, "Hello, Kylie speaking," the person on the other end of the phone said, "Good morning, this is Eva Burrows." Yes, the retired general world leader of the Salvation Army. This is Eva Burrows speaking. And I've just been doing my devotions and wanted you to know that I have prayed for you and David this morning. Well, if ever I felt chastised without being chastised, it was on that occasion. And I actually told her that story some years after that phone call. But the impact that that had on us was very significant. The fact that she would start her day thinking of others, praying for others. Part of our day with others should always include praying for people. Someone that maybe God's laid on your heart, someone that you've bumped into in the street, a stranger that you've met. Start your day on the things of heaven. Here's my second question. What is your daily ministry? Some of you may think that that's a strange question, but I want to say that no matter what work you do, where you are in life, your age, you still have a daily ministry. Last week in my devotions, I was reading about Amos, one of the minor prophets in the Bible. And Amos actually worked in the secular world, if you like. He was a shepherd, and God used him. even as a shepherd. God's calling on our life is not limited to work. He uses anyone in any place, and we all have a ministry. Yes, he calls some of us to full-time ministry, we might call it these days. But for those of you who he doesn't have that call, who don't have that calling on your life, God still wants you to be diligent in carrying out your daily duties and to do everything as a follower of Jesus. Again, from that passage in Colossians, we heard, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Do everything. All your work, all your interactions with other people. My devotions went on and said this: God has never distinguished between the spiritual and secular worlds. In the world of secular work or business, we must also work with the right spiritual standards and values. That is our calling for ministry wherever we are. God wants us to represent him wherever he places us. Your work, whatever or wherever that is a form of ministry to the Lord. Be an ordinary person with extraordinary values. What is your daily ministry? If we, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, are going to continue to do life with others and to impact others and to change the world and to introduce people to Jesus, our lives have to reflect that. And every day is a day of ministry, no matter where you are and no matter what you are doing. So here's my final question. Who do you eat with? Strange question, I know. But who do you sit around the table with? Earlier in the year, I shared with the Ladies Fellowship ladies about how eating with other people for our family has always been important and something that we have valued. We love conversations around the dinner table with our boys, with their friends, our extended families and our wider friends. We don't even mind eating with strangers. We've discovered that sitting and sharing a meal, perhaps even a coffee with someone, helps to develop deeper and more genuine relationships, and it really helps in getting to know people better. Well, on our trip to Adelaide this week, we shared several meals with people. And there's a photo that's going to come up on the screen. Here we are. This is our son Noah on this side and Noah's friend Lucas, who used to come quite frequently to our house for dinner when we lived in Adelaide. But he invited himself over the other night for dinner. And as per usual, he requested chicken and potatoes. That's it. And a dessert platter, as he would call it, which is basically sugar on a plate. And it was good. It was good to sit and have conversation with him. But we shared meals with extended family, an auntie and uncle from the Collinson side, with Christians and non-Christians, with basketball club friends, Selvo friends. And it was all good. In fact, it was great. And it was real. And some of it was hilarious. Some of it was very serious. As we sat with people just on Thursday night and heard about how her father had passed away since we'd left Adelaide, someone spoke to us about their child who had suffered from quite significant depression last year. We shared the ups and downs of life, but that's all part of doing life together. About a month or so ago now, I attended a youth or young adult supper or dinner at the West's house, delicious food. And even though I was dining with people who were much younger than me, perhaps even by 30 years, it was good to sit at a table and to hear from them and to get to know them. If you want to do life with others, share a meal with them. Think for a moment about Jesus and his ministry here on earth. When he was here as a man, who did he eat with? He ate with tax collectors, with prostitutes, with fishermen. Imagine how much they would have stunk. With outcasts, with sinners. But he also ate with his closest friends, the disciples. And Jesus knew, I'm sure, like you and I do, that other people, they can be hard. But that doesn't mean that we don't spend the day with others. In fact, I believe that as followers of Jesus, we are called to and for others. And certainly, this is what Bonhoeffer believed. I'm sure you've picked up over recent weeks how Sarah and I are committed to doing life together. We do life together, Sarah and I, quite a bit, but for the wider faith community. That's why we're passionate about getting small groups and Bible studies up and going, more groups up and going, because this is where life with others will take on a whole new meaning. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is often quoted as saying this: "The church is the church only when it exists for others. Not dominating, but helping and serving. It must tell men," that's the time it was written in, "it must tell men of every calling what it means to live for Christ, to exist for others." This quote is found quite widely on the internet, and if you want to look it up, please feel free. But I was interested in what those three dot, dot, dots, what was missing. So I dug a little further and up came this: "The church is only the church when it exists for others. To make a start, it should give away all of its property to those in need. The clergy must live solely on the free will offerings of their congregations, or possibly engage in some secular calling. The church must share in the secular problems of ordinary human life, not dominating, but helping and serving. It must tell men of every calling what it means to live in Christ, to exist for others." How do you feel about selling the property? Not sure how Sarah feels about her and I living on your free will offerings. But if we are to genuinely do life together, then we need to be willing to get involved in the messiness of life with others in the real world. In fact, I can tell you there have been numerous times in my life when I have prayed that God would send people my way who did not know him. And it has caused me, in some ways, a lot of pain, as I've had my worldviews challenged, as I've had to help people through really challenging situations. But that's the real world. And if we want to genuinely do life together, we need to be committed to praying for each other and caring for each other. We need to be willing to open our home and open our building and open our lives to those who don't know him. And we need to do everything, and I mean everything, as representatives of Jesus, and be willing to sit and dine and have the conversations with people. And to put it as basic as I can, we simply need to be Jesus as we interact daily with others. Shall we pray? God, I just want to thank you that you have designed us to be in relationship with you. And I pray that as your people that we will keep our eyes and our hearts on the things of heaven, that we would focus on you, that we would start our day with you. Lord, I also thank you that we have been designed to be in relationship with other people. And however that looks like for each one of us, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to the people and our lives, to the people that you put in our paths. May we acknowledge that we each have a daily ministry. May we want to spend time with people who are different to us, people who are doing life tough. May we want to be your representatives in everything we do. God, I pray even just now as we just take a few moments just to pause and to reflect, that we would once again open our hearts and minds to what you're calling us to do. Maybe you've got someone that you're placing on our hearts and minds that we need to be reaching out to, that we need to be doing life together better with. Lord, may we be a community of believers, a faith community who loves and serves you, not just here with our own people, but even into our wider community, because the church exists for others. Help us to move from within these walls, to continue to love and serve those who need it more than we will ever know. And may we each be willing to step out of our comfort zone and to resurrender to you this day in what you are calling us to do, I pray in your name. Amen.